C1G. Number 16A.
Now we come to the second record of creation. And in the second record of creation, God is called Jehovah. And it is that kind of Jehovah which is depicted in the primitive document, in the Jehovistic document. And therefore has a different connotation than it has in the priestly document, as we have seen in the scriptural note at the front of the chapter Genesis, where God said that he will reveal himself as the I am that I am. So he showed, revealed himself as the Lord. Now here we must see that we have a different kind of God, a different concept of God. Jehovah is a God of war and vengeance. Jehovah is a God who punishes and curses his creation. He's a God who is conscious of man's shortcomings. So you can see it is really an anthropomorphic God. It is the God of Israel, a tribal God. He's a God among other gods. He's not the only God. He's a finite deity, a pantheistic God. He is the national name for the God of Israel. So that he is like a man of war at times. And so we must be aware that when the second record of creation speaks about God, that Jehovah is meant by that God and not Elohim, not that pure sense of God, of the one and only God. So that Mrs. Eddy says that in the true idea that in it, in the second record of creation, the true idea of God seems almost lost. And therefore, we must not think that this record of creation, the second, that it is something that God has initiated, that God is the creator of that second record of the Adam dream, but it is actually a human sense of God, an anthropomorphic sense of God that is depicted here. Before the second record of creation starts, there is a kind of a bridge from Genesis 2:4 up to when the record starts with the verse 6. So verse 4 and 5 are a bridge that, so to say, bridge the true sense of God and his creation as given in the first record of creation, and gives a bridge to the second record of creation. And that bridge is rather interesting. In the study material, you have right on the top of page 5, you have that assignment, the bridge from the first to the second record of creation. And what we see here is that actually we get the bridge from the spiritual record of creation to a material record of creation. And that bridge wants to show us that we should not accept really in consciousness the second record of creation, the material record of creation, but that we should resurrect ourselves, lift ourselves out of a material record of creation and stick to the first record of creation. The way Mrs. Eddy explains it here is again through that wonderful structure of the Word, as we have seen as the Word runs through the first record of creation, namely Word as Christ, Word as Christianity, and Word as Science. But we will see here that in this text, the tonality of where does word, where does Christ, and where does Christian science changes, namely adapted to the necessity of telling the reader that he should actually not believe in a material creation, that he should lift himself out of that material creation, and that therefore the first record of creation should be engraved in his heart and in his mind. So let's quickly see what this bridge shows us. The biblical text is interesting because it starts out first still with the priestly document, namely as far as the text says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. And you can see this is the priestly document. It, so to say, finishes up the first record of creation and says, now these were the generation of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. I wonder what they meant, these are the generation, because these is really showing that that which has gone before is the generation, and that indicates really in a wonderful way that the 7 days of creation are our true generations. That we are not coming from a material generation, from an Adam generation, but that we come from mind's own generating power as presented through the seventh generation of the 7 days of creation. And they were created. And then at that point, in the middle of verse 4, the document changes and it becomes the Jahvistic document, namely where it says, in the day that the Lord God is always a rendering in the English to indicate Jehovah. Every time you have Lord God, you can put there Jehovah. So in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Can you see the bridge now? It says everything has been made under the assumption that it was before they were in the earth, before a material creation has been taken into account. So it already indicates that besides the first record of creation, that is spiritual, there apparently is taken into account that there can also be a material creation before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. So again indicating that in the first record of creation we had the herb and the grass and the fruit tree yielding fruit and had the seed within itself, still saying that is the true generation before it was seen in the earth, before it grew, and naturally meant before we had a material symbolization of this idea. For the Lord God Jehovah had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Again, an indication of a material creation. It has to rain in order that something grows. Well, in the first record of creation, we didn't need rain in order that the idea developed through the seven stages. And there was not a man to till the ground. Again, can you hear the Jehovistic sense that the spiritual idea should be manifested in a material way, that man should not be have dominion, but that he really should till the ground, that he has only dominion by sweating and sweating and sweating. And so you get a terrific sense here of that bridge which says, yes, the first record of creation is a spiritual record of creation, and now the Jehovistic concept comes in just as it does in the human concept, that people say, yes, but this idea should be manifested in matter. We want to see it manifested in the material universe and the material evolution and the material development. We want to have it material. It's all right that the idea is perfect, that's fine, but it must be put into matter, and therefore is that what wrongly people then call applying it to the human level. Mrs. Eddy now takes that whole verse and gives a interpretation, if we really can call it interpretation. Actually what she tells is not very much related to the biblical text. She so to say gives now the scientific version of how we should handle that belief of a Jehovah that wants to put the idea of creation into matter, so that we are not succumbing to the material creation. And she does it, as I said, and as you have it in the study material, she does it through those four steps of Word as Word, Word as Christ, Word as Christianity, and Word as Science. We had that when we were considering the first record of creation, and we could see that it was running through the Word vertical in John Dolly's matrix by showing first Word as Word through the synonymous term mind, spirit, soul. And just as we saw it in the first record of creation, also here she gives first what we could call primal creativity, the primal building blocks for creativity, for building a universe, again through mind, spirit, and soul in the text. And the text which she gives there shows what as that primal creativity. She explains first, now you have it here, Word as Word, first as mind, and says that God creates all through mind and not through matter. So you have mind there, can you see? So that that God creates all through mind and not through matter, that plant grows, because growth is the eternal mandate of mind and not of the rain and of the earth, because mind makes all. Can you hear mind as a creative impact? Then she gives a tone of spirit and says that God creates not through matter, not, the growth is not something that is dependent on soil or seed. Can you see that that creative ability of mind reflects also spirit, or must be complemented by spirit? That growth of mind has nothing to do with matter, with soil and seed. Yes? Then she goes further and brings in the tone of soul and says that the immortal creating thought is from above and not from beneath. Can you see? From above, soul is always superior, soul is always outside of matter, supreme over matter. And so you get a tone of soul, so that there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Can you see how she tackles now the concept that there is a lower creative activity, the power out of the earth and out of the mist, and etc., as the second record then runs? So first, we have to establish within our consciousness that primal creativity, which says, what is primal creativity? God mind is really that which creates. It creates a spirit, and so you add the tone of spirit. It creates not because of matter, because of soil and seed. It creates because mind is spirit, and spirit is the unfoldment of everything that brings forth and bears fruit. And it is because it is of the nature of soul, we take it from above and not from beneath. We take it from that which is superior to the material earth. Yes? So that would be mind, spirit, soul in the matrix. Can you see that? If we go on in the text, Mr. Zeddy goes on to explain now the word as the Christ. And what is the Christ? From this standpoint where we have to show that we are not dragged down to the material level, therefore the Christ is that which resurrects us, which says that the Christ resurrects and exalts. So here we get the word as a Christ in its office of resurrecting and exalting. That is expressed through those three synonymous terms, as you have it in the matrix here. The word as Christ can be symbolized through soul, principle, life. Why through soul, principle, life? Here you can see it very easily, because soul resurrects, and that the resurrection must end at the point of life, that it shows forth eternal life. So soul must be unfold itself to the point of life, just as we have seen it in the tone of soul and life in the third day of creation, where it was shown that Jesus resurrected himself on the third day of his ascending thought, so as to present students a sense of eternal life. Only then do we have resurrection, when there is really resurrected to the point of life. Here also she depicts that process of the Christ. First she gives the sense of soul, very definitely with a great accent on soul, where she says that soul is never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Can you hear the superiority of soul? And that the knowledge of this does what? It lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environment. Can you see? It's always lifting above resurrection. Soul resurrects. So you get the sense here that soul resurrects. It resurrects to what? It shows to principle, to a conscious spiritual harmony, and to life, namely, and eternal being. So again, you have a terrific, clear-cut sense of soul, principle, life. But you can see very clearly that here, in this bridge between the spirit, the material and spiritual concept of creation, we have more a ascending sense of the Word as the Word, and the Word as Christ, and the Word as Christianity, and the Word as science, an ascending sense of how we can lift ourselves above a false sense. Whereas in the days of creation, those four blocks of Word as Word, Word as Christ, Word as Christianity, Word as science had a more an absolute sense, an absolute impact, and they had nothing to do with asking us to be aware of not letting ourselves be dragged down into the soil and into the sod and into the mist of creation. So it gives much more a human approach, so to say, what we should do in order to keep the Word as the Word intact, in order to keep the Word as Christ intact, namely as soul, to say that we really should, that through the knowledge that we gain, we really should lift ourselves above the earth. To where? To the harmony of principle, which is as life, eternal being. That would have been the Christ activity of the Word. So, now, the text goes on in the next paragraph and gives us a sense of the word as Christianity. And again here it is a sense that, or it is showing what we should entertain in consciousness so as the word as Christianity can fulfill itself and so that the wrong sense of creation is not dragging us down. Here it is said that we have here life and truth as the word and as Christianity. And so you see here again that it speaks about this inspired record, closes his narrative of being that is without beginning and without end, a tone of life, so that we should see that our sense of creation should be a sense that we have a record, that we have a concept of creation, that we have a world view of our creation from the point of view that that is without beginning and without end. And then comes the tone of truth, where she therefore says that this record is left now in the hands of God, not man, in the keeping of spirit, not matter. But how do we keep it in the hands of God and not of mortals? Namely, by joyfully acknowledging now and forever. Can you see? Truth and life. By acknowledging, that's truth. Truth is always affirming and acknowledging and claiming and acknowledging now and forever. Can you see it? Sense of life again therein, without beginning, without end. So our attitude to that creation which is without beginning, without end, is acknowledging now and forever. Can you see, now and forever is the human concept of no beginning, no end. Acknowledging that in consciousness, forever, God's supremacy, omnipotence and omnipresence. So our Christianity, which is what? Our Christianity is always the demonstration of the idea. How do we demonstrate now the first record of creation in the face of the second record of creation? It says, only by acknowledging constantly the true record of creation and now and forever acknowledging that it is in the hand of God and not in the hand of mortals, that God is the creator from above and not that mortals from beneath have any say in it. Then we come to the last block of word as science, where we have the epitome that creation understood, or that creation must be understood, as eternally intact. Always when one comes to science, science shows the beingness of what has gone before. Science is always at the point of isness and shows here that we have to see that creation was always intact. But how? And again you see life, truth and love that are symbolizing the word in science, in the matrix. How does she bring it out? She says, yes, well, that harmony which she was speaking about before and immortality of men are intact. They are what they are. It gives a sense of immortality is immortal. It gives a sense of the isness of creation. And then it gives our human aspect to that and says, and it should be engraved. See, now you get really the consciousness of it. It should be engraved on the understanding and heart. That surrendering understanding and heart, that's consciousness always. When we have understanding in our heart, then understanding becomes consciousness because it's subjective and therefore is a state of consciousness. And so, and that should be engraved on the understanding and heart, truth, And now the tone of love, really the climax of it, how should it be engraved? How should we be aware of it, conscious of it? With the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. Can you see those two ways how it should be engraved with that strict, clear-cut hardness of a diamond that is exact and defined, scientific, and on the other hand, with the pen of an angel, the soft sense, the mild sense, the warm sense, so that these 7 days of creation, as we have been considering them, she says, this really should be engraved quite distinctly into our consciousness, so that they are within us as something very natural, very definite, very defined, and also with the pen of an angel, with the warmth of science, with the motherhood of science, with the whole worship and promise that science contains within itself, and that is the answer. So if we have the first record of creation really in our consciousness, inscribed in our consciousness through the diamond and the pen, then we are secure, we are protected, that the second record of creation which now follows has no hold on us. And that second record of creation will just show how the false record, a false sense of creation, falls back into itself until it is seen to be nothing.